Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
My name's Crystal Bowman. Today we're going to be talking about big emotions. And when I talk about big emotions, I'm going to be talking about your big emotions, but also your child's big emotions, because we learn to regulate them the same way. So I'll be bouncing back and forth between being a parent with a child that has really, really big emotions, and then when you have your own reaction to things and you have big emotions. So I asked just to introduce myself because I have so much I want to jump in. I'm from Arizona. I'm a family therapist in Arizona. I have six kids, and we work with primarily LDS. I work primarily with LDS families and LDS teenagers that are having problems. Please come in and squeeze in. There's like one up here and some here, and I think that there's some white chairs in the back if we need to. Yeah, scoot in if you can. That sounds good. I've never presented with this group before, so I'm thinking I got the smaller room thinking no one would come. So thank you. Thank you for coming. So my anything else about me? I love to dance. I love to be goofy. I love teenagers. I'm teaching a teen class on peer pressure in a little bit. I'm super excited about that. That's probably all you need to know. So this is a picture of my family. What do you think, 10 years ago? Anyone stress when they take family pictures? I have one daughter who's here. She looks so much better now. She's over here. Ella? This is Ella right here. She's over here now. She goes to BYU. This was one of the moments that at this point with my six children, this was probably the best photo we got the whole year. One kid took off after that. It just came apart. The reason I chose to come on in, find a spot. There's some white chairs maybe. Maybe we could grab some. The reason I love this photo is look at the individual emotions of each person on there. I had spent a lot to coordinate outfits. I even got lashes on. That's not like me. I went full out, and you can tell. If you just take a moment and look at each one, what are they feeling? Maybe a child was uncomfortable with the clothes, right? That's too tight. Maybe someone else was frustrated. I can tell my husband's trying to get the little one's hands down. And so these are examples of all the big emotions when you end up having a family more than just one child, right? We have all these emotions in the room, and this is just about taking a photo. Wrong way. All right, so what are emotions, and how do we regulate them? So when I went on Google, just briefly, I looked at the typical approaches of how you handle when you have really big emotions. And you guys, there are thousands and thousands of examples of what to do. So instead of doing that, typically when I teach around emotions and regulation, I like to do an education around how emotions work in our body so that you can find what tool works for each of you. Because as you know, one thing that will work for one child will not work for another child. And so you almost, it's like, I tell my kids, it's like your job is to figure out your body and your brain and how to calm it down when it gets really, really ramped up, or how to bring it up when it gets really, really down low. And our jobs as parents is to try to help them find those tools. So there's millions and millions of tools, and I don't have time to go. Even if I chose tools, it wouldn't be as important as your understanding of how it works. So what I want you to be thinking about when I'm teaching is this. I just typed this up right before, thinking of this group. Emotional regulation requires a set of skills. Where am I as a parent lacking in my skill set as I teach? And where is my child lacking in their skill set? And how can I help them, keeping in mind their developmental ability? Okay? Now, some of you have very smart children, very, very smart children, and you invest in their education. I just want to remind you that that does not mean their body developmentally can regulate their emotions at their intellectual level. They still have maybe a toddler body if they're a toddler. They still have, I have my oldest read super, super, super young, but she still was like a five-year-old with a five-year-old body reading her Little House on Prairie books, right? And you have to keep that in mind when it comes to emotional regulation, because it's a body thing. All right, I'm going to just go through the four things we're going to do today. This is just to give you kind of an idea. We're going to do education around emotions. We're going to talk about self-regulation versus co-regulation. We're going to talk about tools like application of what I'm talking about. And at the end, we're going to talk about Heavenly Father's plan and how Christ gives us an example of how to regulate our emotions. So what are feelings? Give me a thought. What are feelings in general? What's that? Mad, sad, glad. This is great. These are core emotions. So this is cool. This was a study done. You can Google this. This was a study done, and what they did is they basically took a whole bunch of people and they asked them, when you feel this emotion, what do you feel inside your body? Energy-wise, busyness, heat, cold. They also did, they hooked them up to sensors, and then they like combined all that science into this map, which is a common human experience. Now, some people experience emotions differently, but commonly this is what we're doing. So the hot is red, of course, like fire colors, and the cold. So just take a moment and look at anger, the heat in the hands, right? Compared to like happiness, where you have similar colors, but it's more in the head and heart instead of this tightness in the chest. Look at depression. I always feel sad for this guy. Just like cold, 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 right? And then when I get my teenagers in my office and I'm trying to educate them about emotions, I love to point out that shame looks like Spider-Man. He's hiding and he's sneaky. Doesn't he? Doesn't he look like Spider-Man? Okay, so this is an easy tool to teach yourself, teach your kids about a body scan. And this is a way to see where those movement in your body are and connect it to the emotion. So what I like to do is just say, okay, we're going to pretend we have a body scan, like a doctor's body scan. In my hands, I'm doing this as if you're all young children right now, okay? My hand is the scan. We're going to start at the top and we're going to go see what's going on here. Bzzz. Okay, what's going on in here? Is it hurt? Is it pressure? You know, just giving an awareness. Most of us are comfortable with our spirits and comfortable with our cognitions, meaning this up. Most of us are not in tune with what's going on with our body, and that's part of the emotion and getting out of control. So from here, okay, anything going on here? Oh, that's interesting. Just get them a little bit more familiar and more literate, you know, having some emotional literacy all the way down. That's a body scan. You can do this yourself. Like, what is wrong with me is the thought, right? Then you think, okay, what's going on? Where do I feel it in my body? Oh, that's a tightness. You can reflect if you're a homeschool parent. Pull up that map. Is this what it feels like? That tightness right in your chest? Oh, you might be angry or you might be more anxious. Okay, that's just an idea. So mindful, these are pop psychology words. Mindfulness, awareness, noticing. I'm noticing a tightness in my stomach. I'm noticing tingling in my fingers. Okay, if those are feelings, meaning as a human we have a general understanding of what feelings are and are a common human experience, what do you think of when I say big feelings? Overwhelming. What else? Throw out emotions that are big. Outbursts. Yep. Anger. Uncontrolled. Yes. So I did this mapping of emotions, and I did two on two axes, the x-axis and the y-axis. Now, if you like to take notes, they told me I'm on 103, and there's this map at the top, okay? So we have high intensity of emotions and low intense emotions. We also have uncomfortable versus comfortable, okay? We're doing a little bit of geometry, right? Okay, so I just assign colors. It doesn't matter. This is something simple you could do with kids. And then you take, how many of us have seen Inside Out? Yeah, you could watch this with your kids if you want to do a revisit. And you take each one of these and see, can you map this? Well, let's look. Where would you map anger? That's an easy one. Is anger comfortable or uncomfortable? It's uncomfortable. Is it high intensity or low intensity? It's high, so it would be in that red box. That was one I gave you because he's red, right? Red. But not all of these are like that. How about disgust? Comfortable, uncomfortable? Uncomfortable. High intensity, low intensity. It's still high, so it's in the same box. Yep. And then you can go through and do it all. Joy is an interesting one because it can be low joy, like meaning we know joy is over here, but it could be with like a peacefulness, a calmness, or it can be so much excitement. Surprise is another interesting thing because it's usually high intensity, but it could be a really great surprise like Christmas or a really, really bad surprise, right? Like finding dog poop in your house, like bad surprise. So these are my emotions. You can do this as a family. These are my emotions mapping. When I work with people in therapy and counseling, family counseling, I am fascinated that these are different things. This is pretty much standard for a lot of people, but like I had a teenage girl that said her boredom was below feeling hopeless. It's interesting. This would be something really, really important for you to know as a parent, okay? So why is that? Stay curious. So this you can map your emotions with comfort level and intensity. All right, this was just for me like a mind blow, okay? Because we say, Crystal, help me. My son is having such big feelings. Help me, like his tantrums, whatever. And then when I mapped this, I realized it's not the intensity that parents are freaking out about. We're fine with people being happy or curious or pleased. It's the uncomfortable emotions that we're not liking. Meaning parents are uncomfortable with their child being uncomfortable. That's huge. Because I believe all of these emotions are part of being a human, meaning Heavenly Father wants us to experience all these emotions for different reasons. And if we are just so uncomfortable with our children being uncomfortable, then they become adults who are uncomfortable with their kids being uncomfortable, and no one teaches anybody what to do if you feel these feelings. So that's what I'm hoping to do today. So number one, you're supposed to feel uncomfortable sometimes watching your kid feel uncomfortable, and instead we regulate ourselves and then teach our child how to regulate. Okay, this is a feeling chart, feel wheel, feelings. There's a lot of things. It's called a feel wheel mostly and a feelings chart. You can find all different versions online. The core emotions are in the middle. And then as you branch out, it's examples of specifics. As we label emotions, we can regulate them better. Now, I have one of my kids who's autistic, and he can only do these. That's about all he can explain, right? And we can start teaching the others, but his capacity is here. That's fine. That's enough. But if I have another child who is feeling sad, I can ask. There's a difference between feeling hurt, feeling guilty, feeling lonely, right? And we can regulate it and respond as a parent differently to guilt versus lonely. That's very different, okay? So if your child has the ability to break down, then just like we do vocabulary, we should start talking about emotions and expand their vocabulary. This is the cool tool. If you leave with nothing else for me today, listen to this. David Rock, psychologist, says, when you experience significant internal tension and anxiety, you can reduce stress up to 50% by just noticing and naming it. What that means is if I say, what's going on in my body? What am I feeling? Oh, I'm actually kind of nervous right now. That decreases the nervousness up to 50%. So teaching your child how to name it, teaching yourself how to articulate it, can reduce the intensity by 50%. Yes, and I appreciate that. We actually, by saying, helping them to name the emotion, and then the second one, which we'll get to in a little bit, is, oh, that makes sense. Like that's not a bad thing. Okay, another way is if you see the emotion, then you don't have to be the emotion. That's another way to say it. If I can see my own emotion and what's going on, I don't have to be it. So this is a little math problem I put on your notes. Emotions and the intensity of the emotions are not the problem. It's when the intensity of the emotion is greater than the ability to cope with it. And to cope with it, that capacity to cope with it in a way that's both, you can actually just sit here and tolerate it and breathe through it, or you can actually respond to the situation that's aligned with my values. Like I'm not yelling and screaming, right? Because I don't want to be the yelling and screaming mom. Okay, what does regulation mean? So, should I go back? Go back. Intensity is greater than capacity. That's when it becomes a problem. And do you see how if you can't even name the emotion, then there's no way to know the intensity, the capacity, none of that. You don't even know that equation. Thank you for the chair sitter outer. All right, regulation. This is a weird psychology term, regulation. And I didn't really even love it until I realized the metaphor of a thermostat. And for you guys who are much younger than me, this one, okay? They're both thermostats. So what we do is we set our thermostat to a temperature, and this varies accordingly. Like mine's like 77, 78. I have a family member that is hotter than that. I'm from Arizona. So there's a temperature that you like a room. Some people like 72, some people like 68. There's a temperature that you like a room, and it means I can function best there, and I'm comfortable there, right? So we set the temperature. Now all of you science-y people, or if you work on air conditioners, just pretend that I know what I'm talking about, because I'm going to pretend right now. I set it. I put that temperature because it's ideal for me to function and be comfortable. If it gets too hot in the room, what happens? Yeah, the air conditioning system regulates it to cool down the temperature to go to my ideal that I'm comfortable and function. If it gets too cold, then there's a system that regulates it back to the temperature that I'm comfortable and can function. My body does this. I have an ideal body temperature internally, and if it gets too hot, I start sweating, and God has given me ways to bring it back to that temperature that is ideal, and I can function. If it gets too cold, I start to shiver. There's built-in ways to bring it back. This is regulation. What I'm trying to teach is emotional regulation. If you get too hot in your emotions, there's a way to bring back to where I function best. If you get too low and cold and frozen, there's a way to bring it back. Make sense? Okay, good. All right, quickly, top up, bottom down. Top up. Most people think you solve emotion intensity from the top down. So this is like outthinking it, positive thinking, reframing, cognitive behavioral therapy, top down. Now this can work if you're somewhat regulated. But once you get to the point that you are completely dysregulated, you have to go bottom up. You have to do something with your body when you're completely dysregulated. I'm going to get pretty bold saying this. Sometimes I work with people with addictions, right? Addictions of substance use, some sexual addictions. There's things that come out, alcohol, things that come up. And it makes sense because they're regulating their life with their body, right? But there's healthy ways to do this with your body, super, super healthy ways. So I don't have time for this, but I do like Dan Siegel's for teaching teens. This is the amygdala. This is your brain. The prefrontal cortex is here, meaning best thinking, decision making. If I start to get really, really frustrated and angry at some point, my prefrontal cortex is off, and I'm activated, and I'm out of control. If I can calm my body down, there's different tools. There's sensory ways you can do it. There's breathing. If I can send the message up, it slowly brings it back down. Now, can you imagine, here's mom, here's child, and we're talking, and the child's going nuts, right? And then I start getting uncomfortable with their uncomfortable, and now we're talking and trying to solve a problem with no problem skills on board. Has anyone experienced that?
No.
Okay, just checking. Upstairs, downstairs is great for teenagers as well. You can look it up. It's upstairs brain, downstairs brain. It's limbic system, all of these things. So I'm jumping. I have lots I'm cramming in. I teach this at Education Week, and it's like lots and lots and lots of days. So I'm like trying to smooth it up for you and just give you the most important. So we did normalization. All of us have all emotions. That's normal. That's good. We did top down, bottom up. We're going to do window of tolerance. Raise your hand if you have heard about the window of tolerance. A couple of you. It's my favorite way to teach emotions. Basically, there's a window that we all function best in. I'm going to use this as if this is the window. This is the window that I function best. Well, let's go like this. This is the window that I function best in. I'm calm. I'm creative. I'm connected to others. I'm my true self. Like my spirit's activated. I can feel it. I'm going from the eternal version of Crystal, not the earthly version of Crystal, right? Well, what happens is some people's windows are this big. Some people's windows, how many have kids that have different windows of tolerances? Yes. And then I wake up and I didn't get enough sleep, maybe when I used to nurse my kids at night, and I'm like, this window, this is how much I can tolerate, okay? Let me give you a little bit more about the window of tolerance. So in the window is where we function. This is the regulation. This is 78 degrees for me. This is where I function best. Up here is where I get really hot. It's called hyperactivation. Down here is where I get really low, hypoactivation. Okay, are you following me with this so far? Okay, good. All right, when somebody says, how was your day, Crystal? I say, great. This is probably what it looks like. Nobody has this. nothing really happened today. Nobody is, it means that I was within my window, I didn't even notice. Okay? When somebody comes and is having significant problems, and they come into my office, their day may look more like this, or their week, and I want to know two things. How did you stay in your window here? You almost couldn't get out of bed, but you did. How did you do that? Or how did you get back in your window when you actually were like this? How did you bring it down? Different things for different people. Exercise. DBT teaches like temperature change is really good. Okay? Each child's going to have different things. So that's kind of to give you the backbone. The government of Jersey, which, okay, you're probably like a lot of educated folks here. I didn't even know that was a thing. Government of Jersey, it's a country. I looked it up. Is that right? I don't know. They have an online thing. You can just look Window of Tolerance, Government of Jersey. They explain this like a river. Like the river is where you want to stay. This is great to teach kids. There's a hot lava over here. And Iceland is over here. And we're going to try to go down the river. And my job as a parent is to help you navigate that river. And also my job as a parent is when you get out on the hot lava side, I'm going to try to talk to you and teach you and help your body to move back into the river. So the river is pretty cool. Also, your river expands wider by doing certain things. Good sleep. If you're doing your spiritual things, like reading your scriptures, temple, this expands your capacity to endure difficult things. This is what I did in a session one time with a child, a young child that wasn't getting it. Middle lane, and we would take that little car and we would go up into the hot. Do you ever feel like this? Do you ever feel like this? How do we get it back into that lane where you're feeling, oh, yes. And we talk through different things with the car. That might be an idea if you have a younger one. And then I tell my teenagers, if we do this, this only works for emotional regulation because nobody wants to drive in that middle lane, right? We don't want to do that, right? Okay, so the goal is to regulate your emotions, to stay in the window, or to get back in the window. We can expand it with self-care, faith practices, and connection. We are wired to connect. All right. Self-regulation, co-regulation. Really fancy terms. This is how I like to simplify it. Self-regulation, I'm by myself. I can soothe myself. Co-regulation, with another person, I can soothe myself and calm myself. I believe, I don't get to say this everywhere because I don't present just to LDS groups. I believe that Heavenly Father wants us to learn both. We're born as one human being to this earth, to a family, but we are a separate entity, and we are supposed to learn how to calm ourselves down, and I believe that we are supposed to learn to calm another human down or calm ourselves by leaning in and being vulnerable. I believe we're supposed to learn both. And the reason I believe we still have to learn self-regulation is because your mom's not going to always be there when you're upset. Your spouse is not going to always be there when you're upset. We have to learn to regulate our system. Okay, self-regulation, there's a book. Dr. Becky does a book called Good Inside. It's my favorite parenting book. She talks a lot about putting your hand in your heart and belly, taking some deep breaths and saying things like, let's say I'm really upset at my kids. Like, I'm just a mom trying as hard as I can. Deep breath in, out. I can do this. Maybe I need to talk yourself through it. There's other ways to do it, but I love her way. Dr. Becky, self-regulation. Okay, I want you to pay attention to your body. I'm going to put some images up, and I want you to pay attention to your body with these images. And really look at each one. Imagine what's happening. And just, I'm going to be quiet and pay attention to your body. And then I want a contrast to pay attention to how your spirit works with your body when you see these images. Can you feel a little contraction with the tension of the other one and this one expands a little bit? So, okay, I wasn't planning on doing this, but this is something that I believe also, my testimony plus my work mixed together. I believe, okay, we're going to do math. How long have we lived? How long have our spirits been alive? Forever. So here's a dot. That's how long our spirits have been alive. Sorry. What is this called, mathematicians? Array! Good job. How long are we going to be alive? Forever. This part right here is now on earth. We did not have a body here. We get our body here. We learn how to deal with our spirit plus our body here. And then we have it forever. It makes sense that it's clunky. It makes sense that it's hard. We're learning how to be in our own body. Two simple cues. This is really just fast. It's not what you would expect, eyebrows and shoulders. This is about co-regulation with another human being. I'm a mom. I'm trying to help my child. Eyebrows end up being one of the biggest indicators of emotions. That's the new research. It used to be eyes. Mouth was second. Eyes. Like, I can smile, but my eyes, you can tell, aren't. I'm, like, actually really irritated, you know? So eyes used to be it. Now it's eyebrows. So pay attention to your kids' eyebrows. Okay? And if it's me, I've got to, like, Crystal, calm the eyebrows. Calm the eyebrows. Like, you know, you just found something bad. Calm the eyebrows. Okay? The second is shoulders. There's all a bunch of research I pulled out of this to give you, but the bottom line is when I work with couples and I'm having them try to communicate through things, I'm like, watch your shoulders. And what I mean is turn your shoulders to the person. Because I realized this because I was on my laptop once and my husband came in to talk to me and I like went like this and I stopped typing, but I'm like this. What does that say? My laptop's right here. Yeah. Let's go. Hurry it up, right? But what's the difference if I turn my shoulders? Okay, what were you saying? It's like here. And, you know, I was teaching one time, I was the primary chorister, and I was teaching, if you don't walk as most people do, do you remember this? I will. And it says Jesus, what does it say? Jesus walked away from none. And then it says Jesus, he turned and said, come follow me. Like he did, huh? I bet his eyebrows and shoulders were spot on. He gets my approval. When little people are overwhelmed by big emotions, it's our job to share our calm, not join their chaos. It's our job to share our calm. So what does that mean? We need to calm ourselves first and then manage their emotions. The only time this wouldn't be appropriate is with safety. I don't care if you're angry. If you're angry and yelling and pulling them out of the street, that's okay. But other than safety, your job is to calm you and then calm them. Okay, this cute little cartoon, she sees this little ball of fire. She holds it, she hugs it, and slowly it becomes her boy, right? My sister-in-law says that, I said, what's going on here? Well, let me stop. I said, this is, I'm a good mom. I'm trying as hard as I can. And she says, this is, dear Heavenly Father, please. She says it's prayer. Whatever it is, it's how we calm it. So, this is a great quote by Dr. Laura. I don't know how to say her last name. Lori. Not Dr. Laura. Dr. Lori. A dysregulated adult cannot regulate a dysregulated child. Okay, so here's the three steps. Super simple. Number one, self-regulate. Regulate yourself. If you're outside your window, first use the strategies and tools to regulate yourself. Number two, you co-regulate with your child or your spouse. This looks different for children than spouses. Do you know co-regulation I could go on and on. Number three, if you notice you're moving out of your window, go back up to number one. I need to take a moment, just a sec. And I think we should say those words. You know what? I'm really struggling right now, and I'm getting upset. I need to regulate. I need to calm my body down. I'm coming back for this conversation. That's modeling. That's modeling. And if they're outside the door yelling, that's fine. I have one son who called me a bad word. Don't know when and where he learned it. And it was a teenager, and I'm like, you're not allowed to talk to me this way or talk to me at that tone or those words. And I'm going to go in my room. I can feel my body. I'm like, and I go in the room, and he follows me, and I'm like, I'm in here calming my body down, and the door, I go like this, and I lock it, and then he starts knocking. He's still yelling, and I turn up my music, and I'm calming myself down to go back and have a conversation, because if I stayed in it, I would have just modeled the very intensity that he was bringing and the very ugliness that he was bringing. So I have to regulate myself. Okay, so this is just you hear this, right? Put on that mask first and then put the mask on the child. Otherwise, we're both going down. We're both going down. All right, I love this. When the crowded Vietnamese refugee boats met with storms or pirates, if everybody panicked, all would be lost. But even if one person on the boat remained calm and centered, it was enough. It showed the way for everyone to survive. Just one person. It reminds me of this one person. One person, it took one person to remain calm. Now we also know it also took the power of God here. But in the storms of our lives, it just takes one person to remain calm. What am I on time? Because I'm going to skip something if I'm, where am I? 2:30, okay, we're good. Emotional regulation is God's plan. Three quotes, you can take a photo if you want. These two scriptures are so common. Act for ourselves and not be acted upon. We can do the acting when it comes to big emotions and not be acted upon our big emotions. The other scriptures, small and simple things. And this is the reason I put that is I'm about to give you some tools and they seem so small and insignificant, but they make big changes. The quote is from Finding the Strength of the Lord, Emotional Resiliency Manual, 2021, not that long ago. Your body experiences strong emotions. Becoming emotionally resilient requires you to acknowledge, accept, and respond to your emotions in a healthy way. Remember the body scan? Acknowledge. It's okay that I'm feeling. It makes sense that I'm feeling this. How do I want to respond? Emotions are a normal part of our mortal experience, right? We're right here. We're learning how to do body, emotions, and soul. Sometimes emotions are strong. It can be challenging to respond to them. And when you allow your emotions to decide your behaviors, you surrender your emotions rather than using your agency in responding to your emotions. Some tools. Okay, this is so cool. I spent months studying tools, different tools, breathing exercises, temperature, holding certain sensory things. I spent a long time studying, and it came down to three categories that the tools fell into. So when I'm activated up here, I'm totally tension up here. Oh, let me explain this. If I'm right here, I can regulate myself by thoughts and gratitude. I can. Once we're out here, I can no longer regulate it with just my brain. At that point, I have to do something with my body, right? Go back one, yep. So thoughts are here. And this is why sometimes the tactics using thoughts, people say, I tried that, it didn't work. Well, it's because they were out here. We have to do our body, now I'm back on board, now I can get my thoughts, now I can get back. Let me just make up an example. That blow up with my son. I can't just say, you know what, he's only this years old, and I mean, he's got a lot of testosterone going, and I can't do that if I'm like, you called me what? Where did you learn that? You know, I'm out here. I got to do something with my body to calm it down so then I can go back and say, hey, let's have a conversation about this. So body, there's three things I learned. It's breathing. I put like on your notes like two lines. If you want to put it there, you can. It's breathing. Oh, it's at the bottom. Look at that. Tools to regulate emotions. Breathing, five senses, movement. This is what works for me to frame these. When you are really low, like I have some depressed people I work with and I don't know what's going on. I can't seem to get them to do anything. He feels like he's the worst on the planet. The three things that seem to get them out and back in their regulation is the exact same three things. Breathing, five senses, movement. The thing that I think is so cool about it is I discovered this. I did like all my paperwork. I did this mapping. And then after I came up with it, I'm like, okay, cool. That gives me a framework to explain to people different regulation things within the context of three categories. But then I had this realization. Breathing. I, right now, while we're talking, we're all breathing. We're not thinking about breathing. We're just breathing. We can choose right now to slow down our breathing. We can choose to override it. I can't do that with my kidneys. I can't do that with other functioning in my body, but God gave us the ability to override our breathing, to change the regulation temperature, to change the temperature of our body emotionally. He gave it to us. I think it's a tool that we, I actually was annoyed when I first, like, okay, another breathing one. Okay, another breathing one. But wait a minute. This is a miracle. We have the ability to, if I'm really low, I can speed it up. People exercise sometimes to force that, or you can do breathing exercises. Okay, five senses. This is like when you notice something, you probably heard this, like look around, see something new, or essential oils. They work for this reason, but also we have a new smell, and so our body is focusing on it. I could do a whole class on it, but the bottom line is it brings it. There's a whole reason essential oils work, but in addition, certain smells will bring you back in nature. And so the reason why is the theory is that it brings me to the now. I'm not thinking about all the things that went wrong or all the things that can go wrong. Whatever I use with my five senses brings me to the now. And now is really where we can really make changes. So I've told people this, that's the most common. If you emotional regulation, the most common thing that comes up is what she's saying. And you can print off a little thing. Sometimes you can send your kid there, read something, and do it. But I've told people in my office, it doesn't matter the order and the numbers. Like, do what works. Like, five, okay, whatever your brain picks, I'll find five things I can touch, even though it's, you know, whatever. But it's the five senses. Really, really good. Movement, exercising, squeezing, there's lots and lots of options. So I want to point out that this is a very different conversation of having to regulate, helping a child co-regulate, helping a child regulate at this age versus this age. He still kind of likes me, huh? Versus this, right? This, it's too late to do some of those teaching over here. It's not too late to teach him, but this is more about modeling now. This is more about, like, you know what? I can feel that it's really tense. I'm struggling. I'm going to calm my body down, and then we're going to talk about this. I need to put some gum in my mouth to change something. I need to put ice in my mouth, something, okay? That's about more modeling. You're modeling from the beginning, but this guy does not want me to come over like this one that's like, can I give you a hug and squeeze? Can you squeeze harder? Can you squeeze? Like, that would be dangerous. Okay, when you teach these skills, I like to think of this. This is in the middle of it when disaster's happening. This is when we're just thinking of safety. We're in the middle of the flight. Teaching about emotional regulation happens before the incident. And then afterwards, hey, what happened there, buddy? When we're both back in our body, as this lady says, or both back in our window of tolerance, now we can have the conversation. So here, this isn't the time to go through it all. Here, we're just looking for safety. Okay. These are the three steps. You name the emotion, and then like you were saying, you name the emotion. Number two, it's okay that you feel that way, or it makes sense that you feel that way. And then I believe the Spirit gives you the answer sometimes for myself. Like, oh gosh, I'm feeling so nervous. Well, that makes sense that I feel nervous, and fill in the blank. And then you choose a tool to regulate. Now you can Google tools under those three categories: breathing, five senses, movement. I don't have time to go through it today, but you can go through those. How about I just do this and you guys take photos of it? Those are the ones I like to do. Does that work? Okay. Well, I'll do hot chocolate right now while you're doing that. That's fun with the kids. Okay, imagine you get a bunch of hot chocolate. This is not at the top of the airplane. We can't do it then. We're doing it before. And then when we're getting close to the top of the airplane next time, I can just say hot chocolate and see if it works. Okay, hot chocolate. Hey, all right. Okay, I'm talking to you. You're little. Let's get hot chocolate. Who likes hot chocolate? Oh, I love hot chocolate. Okay, let's. Ooh, it's too hot. It's too hot. And there's marshmallows on top. Let's smell the hot chocolate. Here we go. Mmm, it smells so good. Okay, blow, but don't let the marshmallows go out. Oh, too fast. Slower. That's a fun one for little kids. Hot chocolate breath. And sometimes if the kid's not doing it, it's like, mom's over here. I'm getting my hot chocolate because I'm kind of freaking out. Ooh, can't wait to eat the hot chocolate. You can model it, okay? All right, five senses. There's the grounding that we talked about. Emotional first aid kit. Ooh, I'll just take 30 seconds. I carry with me in my bag an emotional first aid kit. It has something for each of the senses. It has a rock that I love to hold from a hike that I took with my kids. It has my favorite smell of essential oil in there. It has a couple mints. It has five senses. Emotional first aid kit. It's fun to build that with your child and explain what we're going to use and like, oh no, we're really, really struggling. Let's get out this kit. Let's see, is there anything in here that you want? Okay? I just have it in a makeup bag. I spy colors. All right, movement. Exercise, squeeze, shake, wipe off. This is like squeeze your body for like 5 seconds. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Okay, let's take a deep breath in and breathe it out and relax. Wipe it off actually works, especially for sensory kids. If you can wipe off that emotion, let's see if we can get it. We're just trying to get back in our body. Move toward a loved one or move away from a loved one and then always return. Just do something. Just do something. There's millions you can do. Those are stories. Okay, I'm going to let you take photos because this is scripts that you can use with childhood emotions. Like, oh, I see you're frustrated. Try the deep chocolate breath. Hot chocolate elevator, what do you want to do? Okay, I'm going to move on. Ready? This is like, I'm feeling stressed. I'm going to use five senses. It might help. Can you help me find something red? This is how you can model it. And here's one for teens.
Can you move on and go a little bit slower?
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, why don't we, I'll pause on here and then I'll close. I just want to make sure you get out for the next one. You got it? No, I'm sure. This is about my emotions as a parent. Oh, I have 8 minutes. Yay! Let's slow down. Let's all take a deep breath. I know I'm talking fast. Let me tell you my favorite one is elevator breath, and I call it the mom breath. I'm driving, you know. Oh, by the way, driving a square breath is really good with the windshield. I'm going to breathe up the windshield. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to breathe down the windshield and across. Can you look out your window, buddy, and do it with me? That's an easy way to do it. Elevator breath for me is like I breathe in. I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to breathe in all the way in. Keep going. Keep going. Take it one higher and drop it on the count of three. One, two, three. Do you feel that? I love that one. It sounds like just a mom breath, right? That's a mom breath. All right, teen, let's get those photos if anyone didn't get it. This is clunky the way I'm saying it. You can find your own words, but it's going to be awkward. And often in counseling we say, of course it's awkward to talk like that. You're not used to. Even an accomplished pianist gets a new piece of music and often it's clunky. We are just learning a new way to talk. Of course it's clunky. Okay. I put this here just because I want to just take a moment and say, I absolutely know that there are bigger things than photos that is happening in each of your families. Our family has had a really hard year. Yikes. Really, really, really hard year. We lost someone we love dearly. One of my kiddos, actually. And we have big, big, big things in our lives that we have to regulate our emotions over. It's not just photos. I want you to know I know that. And I know that God knows that, and he gives us the strength to do it. But we have to do our part. We have to learn how to do our bodies when we have to go through hard things, okay? So I love this. This is Dr. Becky at Good Inside. Imagine flying through a strong turbulence and feeling scared. The pilot starts speaking. There are three announcements you can hear. Number one, stop screaming. There's nothing to be upset about. Everything's fine. So now I'm worried that the pilot isn't aware that there's even anything going on, right? And is ignoring, like, I can see there's something significant going on. So as a parent, stop it. There's no reason to be upset. Number two, you're making me scream. I don't know what to do. You have to calm down so I can calm down. Now I'm terrified. I'm fearing that my emotions are contagious. And it throws the pilot off. I feel like I don't have a leader, right? And the last one, the turbulence feels scary to you. That's okay. I'm not scared of turbulence or your fear. I know what I'm doing and I'll keep you safe. Now I can take a deep breath. The turbulence is still there, but I feel my body calming. I love that analogy. Yeah. So she says, you're allowed to be upset. Your emotions don't overwhelm me. I am still your sturdy leader. We are the pilots of our family, and our kids look to us for leadership, and I love the word sturdy. She uses the sturdy leader. You're a sturdy leader in your home. Close with this scripture. And when he was entered into his ship, his disciples followed him, and there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And the disciple came to him and woke him and said, Lord, save us. Save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye little faith? And then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?" Our Savior has given us such an example for the things I'm talking about. This is a painting that I showed before, and I looked up the title of this painting, and it's actually called Stilling the Storm, Still and Steady. We can be the leaders in our home with education around it, practice around it, and following Christ's example. And he can still us if we can't. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, all of you.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.